You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on January 31st, 2024, and is titled, Be. So grab your Bibles and let's join Steve and the message.
How many of y'all know that when you walk out that door, knowing that God is in the midst of changing your life, that you are called now when you step out that front door to change somebody else's life? Y'all get that part? Yeah. Well, tonight that's what we're going to talk about, some of this. I'm excited about tonight. I got my buddy Eugene come over from Jacksboro. He's the one that throwed some gas on my fire this week, and so I've been pretty lit up ever since. And so then we got Greg and Judy Basil from up at Illinois. They have come down. They want to get baptized tonight and come hang out with us. We've been fellowshipping together through that camera now for about 4 years, and so we're glad to have them. And my buddy Ron Lane, he come over tonight, and so the water is up, the water is warm, and so if there's any Ethiopians in the crowd, tonight's your night. There's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? So if you've been fooling with that while we're getting kind of warmed up here, if you've been toying with that idea, let me just fix it, because I know there's some people been toying with that idea. You don't get wet and dry to join this fellowship because we don't have a membership. You come in and out of this place however you feel led or however you want to, and ain't nobody going to bother you one way or another how you do it. You don't jump in that water so you get your ticket punched into heaven after you die. That's another lie that comes down through the institutions of men that has messed a lot of people up. Throwing water on your head when you're a baby will give you wet hair until it gets dry. That's it. That's it. Now, if I happen to get on top of your stuff, I'm sorry. But when Jesus Christ said, this is what's right for the fulfillment of all things, and he set the example of the going to the tomb and raising out of the tomb by the example of the immersion in water, the predecessor to what would come later that John talked about, I baptize with water, but there's one who comes after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie, will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. That baptismos, immersion experience, is what happens to a born-again believer when you have submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and you now are immersed, you are clothed, you are filled with the Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. You are now a new creation, not because of water, but because of the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. And when God calls you to obedience to his word, that asks you, beckons you to the water, don't let yourself get trapped. Don't get trapped by what men have told men. Be set free by what the Spirit of God says through the Word of God to the people of God. You hear that? Enjoy the presence of the Lord tonight, because let me just speak on his behalf. He's going to get up in your grill all night. Gently, truthfully, and effectively. This is a meeting with God on purpose, for a purpose. This is a meeting we do every week, but this is a meeting that will never happen again. Don't miss what's been set on the table tonight for you. Don't miss it. You're here. So don't miss it. We're thankful you're here. Robin, she's just kind of kicking herself because she can't be here. By the end of the little message tonight, you'll understand that even more. How many of y'all recognize the fact that there are a lot of days Robin and I are not here? You know why? Because I have to be somewhere else. It's that simple. I'm not required to be here. You can't fire me. Y'all can leave if you want to, but I'm going to keep yakking up here until I feel like quitting. No, we have to be. My wife's presence was needed today in a big way. Her presence is only a presence that she can bring. Not any different than the rest of you. In a certain situation in our family today, her presence was absolutely necessary. That's my little prelude to the message tonight, to what we're going to talk about. You are necessary. Your presence is necessary. When's the last time you saw God right on the wall with a chalk mark or a crayon and said, "Curtis, I need you to go to such and such street on such and such day at such and such an hour and pray in such and such a way"? When's the last time that happened? Never happened, did it? Your life puts you somewhere every day, doesn't it? Your life lets you look at somebody's face every day. Being in the presence of God and indwelt with the Holy Spirit allows us to hear His voice every day. Your presence is necessary for His presence to be recognized. Now, I'm going to just let that wet your whistle a little bit tonight here before we get into the... We're going to have a little singing here, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord tonight. I got a really cool story my bulldogger buddy Eugene over here is going to tell, and I love it. He's been a preacher for 28 years, and one of the coolest stories about helping a guy, he's in his PJs in the living room watching TV. I love it. I love it. He's occupied a million pulpits. It's all about being. It's all about being you, and it's all about being present. And that's it. So tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a really special night. So once again, before I pray, I'll remind you. You sit and relax. Even when we sing, you feel like standing up, or you want to clap or raise your hands, whatever it is you feel led to do, or whatever it is you feel led not to do, don't miss God. Don't miss what He has for you tonight. It won't be the whole enchilada. But that one chip that's got some cheese and stuff on it, be sure and get that. At least get that, you know. I use Leal's because 2/3 of you done been there this evening. I've seen some of it on your shirt, but... So we're wiping his shirt. Oh, I think Mule Shoe Fellowship should get a kickback from Leal's on Wednesday night, but... Anyhow, well, let's pray. We'll get them up here to sing. And Lord Jesus, we do. We thank you tonight for this message, this word. It's your word for your people. Lord, we are in really weird times these days. And Lord, we just need you to bring us back to the simplicity of reality. We need help getting released from some of the trappings of our religion, and we need to be set free to be used, that we find our fruitful life. Lord, show us how to live our fruitful life. And so, Lord, tonight we thank you, and I thank you for everybody's listening. Thank you for all those who showed up, who came so far, this little old place in Mule Shoe, Texas. Keep your eye on us, Lord. Keep your eye on us. Lord, we just want to please you for real. We don't want to please you with a church service. We want to please you by living our spirit-led lives. So, Lord, we thank you and give you praise tonight, Jesus. Amen.
You know, Steve alluded to John the Baptist a while ago about what he said about Jesus. And one thing that John said prior to his ministry, he says, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the path. Every valley shall... And this reminds me of the Texas Panhandle. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain shall be laid low. And the crooked places shall be made straight. When I leave my house, I turn 5 times to get... I drive 30-something miles to get here. And I turn 5 times. I mean, it's a straight road right to here. So this is all the same stuff. And the rough ways smooth, and flesh shall see the salvation of God. You know, we're talking about worship. The Bible talks about that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so Jesus said he is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. So that's what we're fixing to partake in, is the Word. But let's worship for a minute. Let him inhabit the praises of our of his people. So we're going to declare this tonight. Y'all stand up. And
how many of y'all have noticed that over the last few months I'm a little different than I used to be? I have some notes. Some people even think I've gotten nice. All toasty inside. Yeah. That's what I told Robin the other day. She said, can you think you can hold on to this for just a little while? And I said, yeah, but the election's coming. I'll hold it in as long as I can. Hey, tonight, I want us to just relax in this here in a minute. I'm going to get Eugene come plop down up here with me and share a little story he's got. And he didn't know he was going to do that, and I'm going to trap him up a little bit. But one of the things about Christianity, and I think that's what's happened here in this little fellowship and in our messaging and how the Lord's dealing with us, is every one of us is an individual, and every one of us has a voice. I argued with a guy one time when we were bantering about things, and I've always had a lot of questions. I mean, how in the world do you stand up here in front of everybody? How do you run a fellowship? How do you auctioneer 35, 40 horse sales a year? How do you run your own horse sale? How do you survive your extreme team roping habit? How does this happen? How do you hang out with your grandkids? How do you make all that happen and do it all to the glory of God? Now, I bet I'm not the only guy that's asked that question. How do I just be me, yet be fruitful and purposeful? How do I do that? Because when I first started out on this Christian walk, it was extremely difficult. You know, if you're a guy who can talk for an hour and a half about Jesus and the Bible and get a big portion of it right, they're going to want you to be up here. They'll give you a job. They'll tell you that should be your career or your calling. And I believe for a lot of people it is. And then what do you do with a knucklehead like me, who every time those opportunities came and I would go to that altar right there, and I would seek the Lord, and I would see the faces of people sitting on a set of bleachers, or sitting in a sail ring. I couldn't outrun it. And I had a guy tell me one time, he said, quit fighting that. He said, it's your voice. It's your voice. God's using your voice. It's got to be you. And I said, no, the Bible says if I don't speak up, he can use a rock. That's what it says. If you don't speak up, I'll make the rocks cry out. That doesn't mean he wants to. That means if he has to, I think we might have gotten to a point where he may have to one of these days. And Eugene shared a scripture that he hinges a lot of things on, and I went and looked it up and pondered on it a bit. tonight, the title of this is just be. But I'm going to talk tonight just a minute about being present. But in Ezekiel 22:30, that's it, isn't it, Eugene? Isn't that the one? You can steal my scripture at the wall. That's a little private joke. Ezekiel 22:30. He says right here, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. I've heard Eugene quote that scripture to me 50 times. When I read that scripture for myself yesterday morning, I wept. I sought for a man who would stand in the gap, and I found no one. I realized for the last 28 years, yeah, I've been up here at the front doing this thing right here, and I pray over y'all, and I preach to y'all, and we'll do whatever y'all need us to do. But the truth of the matter is, I've been standing in the gap for a little cowboy world outside these doors that has reached all the way to Illinois now. Canada, Australia. I see their faces. I weep over them. I tell people all the time, and they'll come and ask me, they'll say, man, I just don't know where God wants me to be. Well, just be. And if you can ever find out which person it is or group of people or whoever it is that you weep for, start praying. You're not going to know where it goes or how it turns out, but just start seeking the Lord because you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and those people caused it. Somebody got to you, and you can't shake it. You go to bed at night thinking about them. You wake up in the morning. And when God says, I need you to stand in the gap for that guy. We'll get together on Sunday and Wednesday and we'll pray over our nation and our town and we'll do all that stuff. And I want you to tell me just how effective have we been? Really? Y'all been seeing a lot of miracles in our government? No, the only miracle we got going on is JB still alive. I mean, really, he's 140. I'm not talking about somebody killing him. He just think, you know, one of these days you're going to miss a step, you know. Well, that works. But the truth of the matter, see, I ain't got plumb nice. But really, the way we do this so many times collectively, not everybody, but collectively as God's people, standing in the gap, does anybody know what that means? To stand in the gap for somebody else. To be that one connection. That one person that says, you can find Jesus if I'll just stand here. You can find Jesus if I'll just pray for you. Because the Lord's led me to you. I told Eugene tonight, we was talking, I said, you know what's really funny about Christians? People who are supposedly baptized in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, walking around in the presence of God, will get in a pile and beg for God to show up. Excuse me. Where did he go? Where did he go? Today, a lot of heartache in our little family this week. My wife can see their face better than anybody in our family. You got to go be present. You don't have to be there to preach. You don't have to go debate the Bible. Be there. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, pray. Just pray. He said, I sought for a man and I found no one. That's a sad state of affairs right there. He's talking about a nation, but he was looking for a man. Is that not right, Eugene?
Yes, sir.
When you go to look in your Bible about being, to be, religion will tell you where to be. The Bible never tells you where to be. No. Jesus, the religion will tell you how to be, how to act, how to sound, how to dress. We're good at all that. But when you go to the be in the Bible, he speaks to us and says, be holy. Be joyful. Be fruitful. Be peaceful. Be filled. Be healed. Be spirit-led. That's the B's of being a Christian. All wrapped up in this one human package. Because God saw fit that a man who is born corruptible can be born again. Therefore, being present offers all mankind the opportunity to be present in the Lord. I asked God one time, I said, okay, this baptism thing, I get it. But here's what I don't get. The Son of God, who was born of the Holy Spirit, now the Spirit of God's going to descend on him in the form of a dove. Why would you use a bird to carry the Holy Ghost? I'm just dumb enough to ask dumb questions. God, why would you use a bird? He said, if I didn't represent my spirit with some part of my creation, mankind would never recognize me. So you heard of birds? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You usher in the presence of God. Buildings don't usher in the presence of God. Pianos don't usher in the presence of God. God's people usher in the presence of God. And that's only when we're present. That's a good word right there. Be present. In Romans 12 verse 2, he talks about, he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But he said, be transformed. But in verse 1, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then it goes on to say, don't be conformed any longer by the pattern of this world. How many of y'all would realize that someday you're going to realize that your institutions of religion have become patterns of the world? If it's not spirit-led, it's a pattern of man. How many of us know in Christianity today that we have a lot of patterns? How many of you Christians live by a seven-day pattern? How many of you Christians live by one-tenth pattern? Come on now, I'm preaching good. True Christianity is 24/7. 8 days a week. Every breath, every step, spirit-led, on call, 100% of my assets, my time, and everything I do is available to God. That's what makes Christianity real and the kingdom of God real. That's how you become a horse sale auctioneer and serve Jesus at the same time, because it gives me the opportunity to be present. Had I not been present in the auction world for the last 40 years and then come back and stay present in the auction world for the last 28, had I not heard the call of God with Coffee with the Colonel, county by county, all the different strategies of God that Robin and I just submitted ourselves to and drove around and flew around all over the country, had we not offered ourselves to go to a horse auction in Illinois, we would have never baptized Greg and Julie's daughter in Illinois. We'd have never met them in Illinois. Other people we met in Illinois. Had I not been doing horse sales along the way, Ron and I would have never become friends. We'd have never had this visit 13 years ago that is finally coming to fruition today. It's all by running around in a cowboy hat with a microphone, being about a two-thirds knucklehead while I'm representing Jesus Christ, telling my dumb jokes and talking about horses and doing all my stuff and all the opportunities that's taken me everywhere while I make a living and live out the desires of my heart. I'm a living sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a people belonging to God, making spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.